We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be in verses 12 through 28 today. We are closing 1 Thessalonians with a benediction. And next week we'll be in an introduction to 2 Thessalonians. And I believe it's timed such that we'll be talking about the Antichrist the week of Christmas, which is very interesting. I didn't plan it. The Lord guides us into these things. But it's what an interesting Christmas week that's going to be. So it's important that we take a break. Paul takes a break from the last day's events to give a benediction for these young believers. Sometimes it's a wise parent or teacher who gives you just enough for you to digest without overdoing it. And so Paul gives a benediction. So we're going to be studying that today. So let's stand together for the reading of God's word, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 28. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I've thought about this quote from Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you've ever heard of Zig Ziglar. Many times over the years, he says, "Your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude." Shortened for effect, attitude affects altitude. I used to take flying lessons several years ago, and I learned that the nose of the airplane and the wings going up and down, that's the attitude of the airplane. Is that right? But it's the same for a person inside of you. Your attitude is your emotional state. You know, how you handle triggers. You know, that's your attitude is your emotional state, whether you're pointing up or pointing down. And your altitude is your inner ups and downs. Believe it or not, unless you suffer from a chemical imbalance or some medical condition or maybe a therapy that directly impacts your emotional state, you can and ought to leverage those emotions in such a way that you approach the good and the bad with joy. Joy is like love. You don't have to feel it to work in it. You don't have to feel it to make use of it. You don't have to feel it to employ it. You don't have to feel it to project it. In this sermon on joy, joy is our Advent theme. Our angle of attack is one of showing great joy or delight regardless of the situation you're in. As Christians, we are to show great joy or delight even in times when showing joy is a colossal social fake. Have you ever heard that term? Social fake. I mean colossal social fake. I learned about social fakes a few years ago. It's not a fake Christian or a fake person. It's a social fake. When you are not happy but you are projecting happiness, that is a social fake. It's the action one takes in attempting that social fake of being joyful that the true power of joy has its effect on stabilizing your situation when you're in the soup, so to speak. So therefore, the main idea of our passage today is that as sinners saved by grace, we have much to rejoice over. Therefore, in all circumstances, we should be joyful. It is hard to be joyful when your situation is pretty crummy. But if you're a born-again believer and where you're going to be with the Lord is secure, then you have every reason to be joyful, even when you don't feel like it. Now, sure, it's hard to be joyful when you don't feel it, but when we stop to think about the blessings that the Lord our God has given us, then rejoicing is something that we should do without any qualms. The things we go through in life afford us opportunities to be joyful in how we edify other people, building them up, or being built up ourselves. Joy gives us opportunities to be sanctified or set apart for the Lord. And joy gives us opportunities to be to receive God's blessing and benediction. And so first, and I might need your help, Doug. My shoulder is all crummy. I can't use this arm very well. But if you could help me advance, that'd be great. So there's joy in edification. Edification is when we build somebody up physically or spiritually or emotionally or mentally. We should joyfully edify other people and rejoice in our own edification. Paul begins this section with a supplication, a prayer request, really, designed to build up or edify the churches in Thessalonica. He's talking about building up the church and building up the people in it. Now, he doesn't lean on them with an apostolic demand. There's no imperative there at the beginning. He asks them to respect and hold in high regard those who have been appointed over them. Right? We're about to elect officers today, elders and deacons, and we're called to respect them and be obedient to them in matters relating to the church. It was the same thing when I was ordained and I took vows and you took vows too. I mean, we are to hold each other in high regard and respect one another. Because, as Paul says, the leadership in the church, not only this church, but his church, has been appointed, not by man, but by God. When the nominating committee went to somebody or to ask them to serve, that wasn't man calling them or asking them. It was God calling them or asking them. And it's a God, he's very gracious and loving to us, and that he provides leadership to us. And because the leadership in this church labors for you, often behind the scenes, they deserve your joyful respect and obedience in matters relating to the church. Joyful obedience brings edification to the hearts and minds of your leadership. It's a joy to the leadership of this church when we, as the congregation, strive for peace among ourselves instead of being easily offended. Did you catch that? When we strive for peace instead of being easily offended, that brings joy to our leaders, elders and deacons and so forth. Admonishing or warning the idle. There are few in this church who can be counted on to do most of the work. When all of us pitch in and help out, like say, for example, during the springtime cleanup, you know, when multiple people are involved and working outside or working inside, that brings joy to the heart of the elders and deacons. Encouraging the faint-hearted. We all, every one of us, need encouragement from time to time, don't we? Is that true for you? That you need encouragement? I do too. When we encourage each other in the Lord, and that's visible, that brings joy and edification to the hearts of and minds of your leadership. Helping the weak. There are some people who are advanced in their walk with the Lord. They know a lot of Scripture, perhaps. And you got people who are new in the Lord, or they've only been walking with the Lord a short time, and their level of knowledge is lower. When we work together as a family of God, helping each other when we're weak, that is an encouragement and an edification to the leadership in this church. Finally, it brings joy to your church leadership when you consistently, congregation, seek the good of the person in front of you ahead of yourself. Did you catch that? When you seek the good of the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, in all cases, in all ways, ahead of yourself, that brings joy to the heart of the leadership God's put over you. And God's grace is sufficient for you in those times. After you've considered the building up of others in your covenant community, leadership, you know, and in each other, then make time for your own building up, your own edification. And be joyful about it. You ought to be joyful in your own being built up. In quick staccato fashion, Paul gives several ways we can be joyfully built up in our walk with Christ. We are supposed to rejoice always. We choose to be joyful and all the time, even when we don't feel like it. I want to be abundantly clear with you. It's not about being a silly person where you're not acknowledging the bad things that you're going through. But it's a Christian discipline that we're being challenged to, that Paul was challenging these Thessalonians to, that even when you don't feel like being joyful, that you be joyful. We are edified when we build up our prayer life, and so we should be joyful in our prayers. You should make it a point to get in your prayer closet every day, preferably in the morning, to go to the Lord. And it's not about how long you are, it's not about how much you pray or who all you pray for, but that you go to Him at the first thing in the morning with the first fruits of your energy and go to the Lord to praise Him, to acknowledge Him, and to ask Him for the strength that you need for the day in front of you. You know, Miss Candy and I, or actually it was her idea, when we were in Japan that second time, it was between, Levi was 3 to 6, and Miss Candy taught him something. She said, you know, you ought to be thankful for something, and then pray for something, and then be thankful for something again. So be twice as thankful as the thing that you're asking for. And so she began to teach him every single day, and it was a kind of a game. And he learned to be twice as thankful as he was for things that he was asking for. He was thankful in all cases. Paul says, be thankful in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That discipline brings an interesting reward. Godly direction. You ever wonder what God's will for your life is? Sometimes I've wondered, you know, particularly when I was a younger person, I was curious about what God's direction for my life was. With this, with Paul's word, you don't have to worry about the direction of your life at all. All you have to do is thank the Lord for what He's doing for you and ask Him for direction. And like Miss Candy taught Levi, be thankful again. And you will be in the will of God. Do you understand that? And if you do that every single day, you'll find yourself on the track that God has assigned you. And you'll be able to look back at some point in your life, you'll be able to look back and see that your whole life lined up straight. And even though it felt like ups and downs at the time, when you look back at your life, you'll see that it was a straight line of faithfulness from God. We can be joyful in our own spiritual edification or building up. If you're like some people I know, church can be a chore from time to time, from week to week. But we are to build ourselves up joyful in the Spirit. We are to build ourselves up in the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, one is not stifling the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, Paul says. How do we do that? Well, we stifle the work of the Holy Spirit when we push our own agenda ahead of His. When we know full well what God has told us to do in His Word, but we say, I'm not comfortable with it. You know, that's somebody else's gift. There's 1,000 reasons we come up with for not doing what's plainly stated in His Word. And we have 100 reasons for it. When we do that, we are stifling the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we do that as a church, that stunts our growth as a church. We are not supposed to despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what we know is true. In our modern context, prophecy, if you didn't know this, is part of the calling of an ordained minister. God reveals His Word to me through studying of His Word, and then it's revealed to you in a sermon. And so what Paul is saying is, don't despise that, but test it. Don't just eat up what I'm telling you. Be a Berean about it. Read it for yourself. Go to the Bible yourself. Study it yourself. The whole point of the sermon outline and the study questions is so that you will grow in what I'm preaching to you, that you will take ownership of it, that you will test it, that you will see that it applies to you. Don't be like the person who says it's the pastor's job to get it right. I'm just going to sit here and listen. Be an active participant in your own spiritual formation. And then you will grow in your own edification. And you will edify your leadership as well. I think I just had a light from heaven come down on me. I don't know. If you're at home, the halo effect is just a light that's shining down on me, honestly. An added benefit is that growing in spiritual edification helps you stand against temptation. We can not only be joyful in edification, but we can also be joyful as we are set apart for the Lord, our sanctification. I don't know what this light is, but if you could turn it off, that'd be great. There's some light right above me. I don't know how it happened. But we are to be joyful in the extent of our sanctification. What does that mean? So ever since we started Thessalonians, if you've noticed, I've had a different benediction than what I've had for the past few years. And it comes right, and it's in our passage today. And so I want to break it down a little bit. He says, now may the God of peace himself. If you didn't know, God himself is the agent brokering peace between yourself and him. And the way he does that is through Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. As God, he's able to forgive you your sins. As man, he died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. Because of Jesus, we have peace between us and himself. You had no righteousness of your own before the day the Lord revealed himself to you through the Holy Spirit. It is by his grace alone that he sent his son, Jesus, to joyfully experience the cross. And it's the same God who joyfully entered covenant with us. All by himself. He did that for you. You and I were dead and deaf and blind and unable to choose him until the day he revealed himself to us, which is our effective calling. And what did he do? He entered into covenant with us to sanctify us completely. To sanctify is to set apart, to lay aside. If you have a china cabinet at home like we do, the things that are easily broken that we want to hold on to, or our china or crystal or mementos that are, you know, easily broken, they're not kept with our our cups and spoons elsewhere. They're put in a china cabinet. Excuse me. Sorry. But we are set apart. You and I are set apart. We're sanctified completely. And in the same way you love your china, you love your crystal, you love those things that are important to you, God loves you infinitely more than that. You are highly loved and prized. And he says, may your whole spirit and soul and body. There was a thought in the first century there that the things of the spirit were pure and the things of the material were impure, and that those two realities never came together. But in Jesus, the spirit and body come together. He's fully God and fully man. And you and I are, if the Lord delays his return, our soul is going to go up into heaven and be perfected in holiness, and our body is going to, you know, decay. But one day he's going to resurrect us, and we're going to be raised to new life in him. So your spirit and soul and body are going to be kept blameless. We are going to be kept blameless. Let me ask you this question. This week, did you feel 100% blameless? No, I wasn't blameless. Plenty of times I wasn't blameless. But he is going to keep us blameless until his return at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. That's the power of his grace to transform you and to sanctify you and to bring you closer and closer to him every single day as we're sanctified and made in his image, remade in his image. And we ought to rejoice in that. Even when your situation is so crummy, your finances are a mess, or your job is a mess, or your home life is a mess, or you don't know where your next meal is coming from, or you don't know if you're going to get medication on time, or 100 different things are going wrong in your life, and you don't have much of a reason to rejoice. But because he is bringing you to himself, you have every reason to rejoice. I was reading in Job not too long ago, I think it was this week. Job had everything taken from him. And his whole body was afflicted. And the only thing he had left from his old life was his wife, who told him to curse God and die. Everything was taken from him, and he didn't understand why. Because he was living for God. But you know what he said? He said, "My Redeemer lives. And one day I will see him face to face." Despite what Job was going through, he had joy that he was going to experience God face to face. And that helped him to deal with the things that he was going through. It pays for you to rejoice in your circumstance, even when you don't feel like it, because that strengthens you inside as you make your way through those times. And here's some motivation for you. Imagine being born into the wealthiest family on earth. I heard this week that, Elon Musk, $400 billion. You know, imagine being in a family where your dad has that much money. Imagine being the most doted on child in that family. And you wouldn't come close to the glory or the grace and the mercy and the love we experience as God's children. Be joyful that God himself sanctifies you. He says, "He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it." You can rejoice in being set apart as holy because God himself promised to set you apart. That process may take years for you, but he's faithful, and so you should be joyful. Take joy that God never has nor ever will be false with you. We promise each other things all the time, but what do? We flake out. We have the best of intentions. We are motivated at the time we make a promise to somebody. We feel like in that time that we are very sincere and genuine about our promise that we make. But what do? We flake out. And it's hard for people in our orbit to be joyful with us because we fail them. That's part of being a human being. But God never fails. He will never fail you because he's pure and he doesn't lie. And so we can be joyful in his blessing, joy and benediction. I touched on this a moment ago. Benediction is the bestowal of blessing. We are to be joyful as we go out with his blessing. When we go out from this place a little bit later today, indeed, as often as we leave our house into the world, we should go out praying and mindful and joyful that we have his blessing. Paul already said, pray without ceasing, but we are to be intentional in our prayer life. We are to have a joyful attitude as we pray for people. We should be praying for other people's blessings, praying for their salvation, praying for a deliverance over addiction. Recently, I came across this prayer request card. It was dated May 5th. No, wait, May. This May. I think it was May 5th, 2024. Somebody was praying for the salvation of a family. I don't know whose family that was. But we ought to be praying joyfully every single day, no matter how long it takes. No matter how long ago someone put a prayer request in, we ought to be praying for the Lord to move in that situation. We should be joyful in greeting each other. And in that part of the world at that time, it was customary to kiss each other on the cheek. They still do that in the Middle East. Here it's a little bit awkward. It's not so much about the kissing, but it's about the greeting. We should joyfully interact and engage each other with people in our own orbits. You never know when a person comes in here with that facade that they have built over themselves, you know, that mask that they have, how rotten of a day that they're having. But if you will give them a joyful greeting, "Hey, it's great to see you." It doesn't have to be theological, you know, "I'm really happy to see you today." That's enough to get them out of the slump sometimes. And maybe for you, that's enough to help you get over yourself to joyfully greet somebody else. We are to joyfully minister the word to each other. It's not just my job to teach you the word. It's your job. It's your role to share God's word with one another. And there's tremendous power in God's word. God's word has the power to create and sustain and to save. Your opinions on this or that don't have that power. When a year and a half ago, I was in London for a mission trip, and we went out to this sidewalk that was right next to the largest mosque in England, if not Europe. And we were told to make sure you know Scripture. Don't tell a Muslim about your own personal witness, because they don't care about that. They want to know what the Bible says. They want to know what the Scripture says. So you need to know what the Scripture says when you're out there in the world. Finally, in closing, we are to be joyful in God's unmerited favor. Our edification, or being built up as believers, being made holy, our receipt of blessing, it's all because of His grace. Paul wrote something very powerful to the Ephesians. He said, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." If you are a Christian today, if you have acknowledged that you're a sinner and you have turned from your sin, if you've believed on Christ for your salvation, and if you rest on that belief, you are saved. I'm here to proclaim to you that you have assurance of pardon. You should never ask the question, "I'm not sure if I'm saved," or "I'm not sure if I have assurance." If you've turned from your sin and believed on Him and are resting in that belief, you are absolutely saved. And that is His grace. And you have reason to rejoice, even when you don't feel like it, even when your situation seems so negative. If you are a Christian, you are redeemed. What you used to be is no longer true for you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is that? 2 Corinthians 5, I think. You belong forever to God. Your sins, my sins, which were many, are forgiven. And those two things came about because of God's grace, which was personified in the person of Jesus, who is man and God, who came down to this earth to save us, even when we were His enemy. And that grace, Paul says, was lavished on you. Lavish. You ever heard that word? Lavish. I love that word. It means abundant. When Candy makes Iowa chops for me, she puts a lavish amount of gochujang sauce, which is made of, it's like a Korean spicy sauce. It's made of red chili paste. And I love it. She just gobs and gobs of it on there, marinates it. And then she'll sear it and roast it, and it'll come out. I'll just look at it, admiring it, taking a picture of it, you know, and then I'll eat it. But she lavishes that stuff on me because she knows that I love it. You and I, God lavished grace on us because He loves us, because He loves you. He lavished that on you with full wisdom and understanding. That means that God knew that you would fail Him today. He saw you fail Him yesterday. He saw you fail Him last night with all the bad choices that we made. He sees your bad choices tomorrow. He's already there. He inhabits eternity. He is where you started in your downward spiral. He's there at the bottom of the rope. He's there when He gets you back up. He's everywhere. He knows that about you, but He lavished His grace on you anyway. And you want to be joyful about that, because we are being built up in Him. And we should build other people up with joy. Because of His grace, we are being sanctified. You can't even imagine the extent of your sanctification. And that being set apart is something that He does, that He's doing. And that the blessings that you have every single day that come from His grace with full knowledge and full wisdom. Do you need any other reason to be joyful? Do you require any other reason other than the several that I gave you today to be joyful in your circumstance? What else are you looking for? Amen? Now may the God Himself, the God in peace, Himself sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and He will surely do it. Amen.